When Adam is put out of the garden, his heart is breaking. Everything he has known is inside the garden, the trees, the fruit, the animals, the voice of God that moved through the cool of the day, everything. And his heart was breaking just to touch that which had been lost, but he couldn't do it. He could not touch what was in the garden, except for one thing. You see, there was one thing in the Garden of Eden that didn't stay in the Garden of Eden. It was a river called life. And the river of life flowed out of the garden. And the Hebrew history is this, that Adam, so longing, get this, to touch, to reconnect, to return to what had been lost, went and sat down in the middle of the river of life and wept tears of repentance, teshuvah. In a world that at the same time is both physical and spiritual, in a world where we serve a God who is at the same time physical and yet chooses to become humanity, both physical and spiritual, in a kingdom that you and I wait for, that we know is both physical and spiritual, why, covenant people of God, should it surprise us that when our heart breaks and we want to go home, that God would call us to the place where life was created, where life was cleansed, to that place which is at the same time both physical and spiritual? We have desecrated the beauty of immersion. We've turned it. It's not a work. It is a place of reunion. When the children of Israel are in exile in Babylon, the Bible says that by the rivers of Babylon, by the rivers of Babylon, we sat down and we wept when we remembered Zion. Do you know what Zion is? Home. And it is my personal belief that they were weeping not just for their physical home, but their spiritual home, because Jerusalem, in my opinion, is the Garden of Eden. And then I understood why I knew I'd come home. Cool thing about the river of life, they teach that it flows like this, in a great big circle. If you get in it, it'll take you home. Anybody want to go home? Anybody want to reconnect with that which was lost, the paradise of God? Revelation, and we're about done. Revelation chapter 22. The angel showed me the rivers of the water of life, as clear as crystal, flowing from the throne of God and of the Lamb down the middle of the great street of the city. And on each side of the river stood the tree of life, bearing 12 crops of fruit, yielding its fruit every month. And the leaves of the trees are for the healing of the nations. And no longer will there be any curse. The throne of God and of the Lamb will be in the city, and his servants will serve him, and they will see his face, and his Shem will be on their foreheads, his name. There will be no more night. They will not need the light of a lamp or the light of the sun, for the Lord God will give them light, and they will reign forever and ever. The angel said, these words are trustworthy and true. I love that verse that says there's no more curse. I think we've missed something. Remember when Abraham takes Isaac up to Mount Moriah to offer him there at what is actually the place of the original garden? And Isaac says, Father, we have the wood, we have the fire, but where's the lamb? Abraham says, God himself will provide the lamb. It can actually be translated, God himself will be the lamb. Or in this place, he will be provided. Do you realize that if what I've said about the Garden of Eden being Jerusalem is true, that means God brought all of humanity back to the very same place where we stood at a tree and broke faith with God, and he brings us to a place where we stand at the foot of a crucifixion tree and there restore faith. There's something on that cross, that crucifixion tree that I don't want you to ever forget. When you look at the brow of Jesus, what do you see? A crown of thorns. When Abraham looked up after the angel had spared the life of Isaac and God was about to provide a substitute, he didn't provide a lamb, he provided a ram. That's why we blow the ram's horn. Where was that ram found? With its head caught in a crown of thorns. How do I know for sure that the curse has been lifted? When Adam and Eve stand before God and God is telling them what their punishment will be in this life, he says that they will go forth in the garden, that they will toil and labor, and the land will not do for them what it had done in the garden, that it will strive with them. And the physical symbol that this planet is under a curse will be thorns and thistles. What was on his brow? The curse. He took the curse upon himself. Why do the children of Israel abstain from leaven during the Feast of Unleavened Bread? Because Yeshua's in the grave and the sin and the curse are on him. I pray that you never look at a picture of Yeshua, a representation of that crown, the same, because it is God's promise to you that when you step into him, he takes your curse upon himself. Revelation 22, 17, the Spirit and the bride say, come, and let him who hears say, come. Whoever is thirsty, let him come, and whoever wishes, let him take from the free gift of the water of life. It is time for the messianic movement. As we have been used to restore a greater knowledge and understanding of so many things, it is now time for us to come together and declare the truth. Hashem is our mikvah. The hope of Israel is our God. And instead of putting a shotgun to the back of someone's head and arguing about do I have to, when, yada, 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 let's teach them the beauty of mikvah and tell them, and they'll want to run to the river. Amen?